in carrying all this paper up here, some of it I want to give back, and I'm relatively certain that all of this is organic products, and I have not too many, but I don't want to haul them home. And all of them, before they were processed and were put in form, they were dead. We take those without any regrets. Yeah, two more. It's really a pleasure, and it's kind of an honor to be up here with these other presenters, because the thing I love about APHA is how you bring so many diverse people together and find out that there are so many common, so much common ground among them. How many of you have been on a mission trip to a third or developing country, third world? Okay, that's excellent, and I congratulate you on that. We're going to get Greg there before too long. If you're like most people, you either have gone back again or you're ready to go back again, because these projects have a way of drawing you in. Gandhi said, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And we need to keep in mind that it's about the others, not about the us part of that. And for that to happen, I feel these mission trips need to be sustainable. Not what we often see as one-shot or hit-and-run missions, which often become hit-and-miss events. I'm going to tell you about my eye care project, which I have developed with the model of sustainability in mind. And when I'm through, I hope you'll understand a little bit about why this is important, and also give you some ideas of what it takes to do something like that, what it's taken me to do that anyway. And there are no disclosures. I'm going to do that real quick tonight. I'd like to start by giving you some of the global statistics you've already heard. They change a little bit from one to the other, but there are about, according to the World Health Organization, 285 million visually impaired people in the world. I think that's a little low from my guess, but low vision is people 2060 or worse. Blind is 2200 or worse. Uncorrected refractive errors and cataracts account for nearly 80% of vision impairment. And that means that there's probably 228 million people worldwide with uncorrected or correctable vision impairments. Living with vision impairment without basic eye care, and this is something that these people could be functioning on a higher level, they could be more productive, they could have better dignity and self-respect. So, we can't all, or none of us, can solve the world's problems, vision problems, and I recognized that right away. But I decided I'd bite off a little piece and see if I could make a difference. So the small piece that I bit off is an area in northern Guatemala called the Ixcan, named after the Ixcan River over here. You know, on the right side you can see where Guatemala fits in with North and South America, if you weren't aware of that, and then Guatemala. And the black spot in Guatemala is that the area that I work in, which is the Ixcan. And a couple of things to point out, I suppose, just because I'll be talking about them a little bit, is Santa Maria Ceja is a village I'm very familiar with. We also hear about Victoria, Playa Grande, and Cantabal. And then over here on the west side, Mayalan. There are actually about 175 villages in this 30 by 35 mile region. So a little bit about Guatemala. There's about 15 million people, and the Pan American Health Organization estimates an incidence of cataracts at about 4.1%. So in the Ixcan, that would mean about 4,100 people have cataracts needing care. And from my work over the last 15 years, I would estimate, from what we've done, that probably at least 40% of those people also need some kind of refractive care. Now, life is difficult for these people, as it is for so many people around the world. Whoop. Gotta watch where I put my fingers. My mother used to tell me that all the time. The average family in the Ishkan earns between $1,200 and $2,400 a year. They're about 80% in the poverty rate, poverty line. During the 1980s, during their 36-year-long civil war, there were over 300 massacres in the Ishkan as the military marched across the country doing a little scorched earth campaign trying to get rid of all the guerrilla fighters. The survivors and the region are still recovering from that that time of La Violencia. My first trip to the area was in 1996, and it was at that time that I met a health promoter in the small village of Santa Maria Ceja. Pedro is his name, and Pedro was a volunteer health promoter in his community. He was proud of his job, but he had no access to eye care. He couldn't afford eye care, and he was going to quit being the health promoter because he could no longer read the instructions on the medicines, and he didn't want to make any mistakes. So, a year later, I came back, and along with Pedro, he and I started an eye care program for his village. And over the ensuing years, that project has grown to now where we're working in the entire country. Thank you. Wait till I get to the finish. So we call our organization Enfoque Ishkan, which is focusing on the Ishkan. And we set these items up as our mission statement, to teach local health promoters to use simple and inexpensive instruments and materials to measure and treat basic refractive conditions, to recognize eye and eye-related diseases, to know the signs and symptoms of vision and eye problems, to educate the public on eye conditions and preventive measures in eye care, and to refer health problems needing professional care to appropriate Guatemalan health professionals. I didn't want this to be a me project. I wanted it to be a project which could be operated year-round by local people with my help. In other words, I wanted a sustainable project. So, I started making regular trips to this area of Guatemala, and I began teaching people like Pedro about eye care. We started out with anatomy and optics, some simple refractive techniques so that they could measure people's eyes and correct their vision. Information about eye health conditions. On each of my yearly visits, I add more topics to this list and I review old things that I find that they need more review on. So it's a constant training battle. We also provide them with an inventory of glasses and eye drops and sunglasses. We've developed a referral system, and part of it is with the people you saw on the slide from the first presentation, with the people at Visualisa. We have two Guatemalan eye clinics now that we refer people to for surgeries. We have a connection, or I guess a, not a connection, but a relationship with the Ministry of Health in Guatemala. This is important. And in fact, since 2010, our little eye health promoters in the Ishkan have been on the Board of Health in the Ishkan. Since becoming a 501c3, one of the most important things and most difficult for me is raising money. But we raise money for cataract surgeries, testing equipment, a glasses inventory, the eye health promoters' work contracts, and their continued training. And we conduct surveys occasionally just to monitor our progress. Our first survey was a satisfaction survey that we did, and I reported on that in 2007 here at APHA. The survey was conducted on about our first 200 patients that we saw several years ago, and we had an 87% either satisfied or very satisfied with our services. And I was very happy with that because I think that rates pretty well with a lot of offices, eye care offices in the United States. And to give you an idea of some of the results, since 1997 when I started, our first volunteer, Pedro, he worked for until 2005 by himself, totally volunteer. He was my inspiration and motivation to continue. Then we brought in a second eye health promoter, Felipe, from the same village of Santa Maria, and in 2005. And we began paying them or contracting with them to cover their part-time work expenses. And in 2009, we added a third eye health promoter, Arnulfo, from the village on the west side of the Ishkan called Mailan. You can see that these mostly one or two guys have done nearly 2,200 exams. An exam is just a basic consultation, acuities. They have do some refractive testing, and they do a little bit of looking for cataracts, nothing really looking internally in the eye. They've dispensed over 1,600 pairs of glasses. They've sent, and they go with these patients, 160 patients to the eye surgery centers for surgeries. 119 of them have received surgeries, and a total of 169 surgeries have been completed. Many of these people have more than one surgery on each visit. Until 3 years ago, we had trouble getting 10 to 15 people per year to go to surgery for whatever reason. Last year, in 2011, we set a goal of sending 40 people for surgeries, and we reached that goal. Earlier this month, the first week of this month, Felipe took 40 people to an eye clinic in one visit. So because of the continued training and patient education and donor support, we've been able to grow quite significantly. In 2003, I realized I'd bitten off a little more than I could chew all by myself. And so I enlisted the participation of the optometry students from Pacific University. They have a VOSH chapter called Amigos Eye Care, and they go with me once a year, usually eight or nine of them and two or three other doctors, and we're there for a week seeing patients in usually two or three different villages. And they have done, combined, they have seen over 6,900 patients, dispensed 2,900 pair of glasses, and we've identified 477 patients needing surgeries or other professional care. So that brings a total of over 9,000 people we've seen so far and 4,500 pairs of glasses dispensed. So recently we did another survey, and I want to report to you on that. We did a survey which was more of a needs survey, which we split in two parts. In 2008, the survey was conducted in the village of Victoria by the middle school students from the village of Santa Maria Ceja. And this is another example of using local resources as much as you can. We had a researcher from Mexico invited in. He went to Santa Maria Ceja, spent a couple of days teaching the students how to do interviews. They also learned how to do some data analysis, and later after it was done, they wrote up reports, and they also made public speaking type presentations about their work. So it turned into a really neat project for the school system as well. In 2011, One of my students on our Amigos mission, a bilingual student, did the surveys in the two villages of Sacteuno and Playa Grande. And most of the questions were the same on both surveys, although there was a little bit of difference. Here's some of the results, with the results shown in two parts. 2008, which was 123 people from the village of Victoria, and in 2011, which was 119 people from a variety of 53 different villages. And this had to do with dry eyes. As you can see, most people have some dry eye problems, and this is a common condition, probably because most of the people are working outdoors in the fields or inside in wood smoke or wood fire homes. Lots of wood fires, not for heating but for cooking. We'd also see that if we ask them if they have itchy eyes, lots have itchy eyes. And this again reflects the environmental conditions that they live in. The jungle, very lush rainforest, and lots of eye irritants. We wanted to know if they'd ever had their eyes examined. And the large percentage had never had their eyes examined. This lack of previous eye care is a reflection of the fact that this is a very remote area. It takes 3 to 7 hours to get to the nearest eye doctor, and that's sitting in the in a cramped van with 19 other people. They can't afford the travel, they can't afford the services once they get to the doctor, and they can't afford their time away from home and their farms. We also wanted to get some idea of their perception of how their vision was. So we asked them about their near and distance vision. One of the things that I would throw in here is that 68% in 2008 and 73% in 2011 were 30 years old or older. So this slide, or graph, or these graphs, are consistent with the age and most common refractive conditions of the people in Ishkan. There's refractive conditions that are most common are hyperopia and presbyopia. presbyopia and hyperopia also, well, not hyperopia, but presbyopia and cataracts also come on a little bit earlier in this part of the world, like they do probably in many countries. We see people needing reading glasses and having presbyopic problems in the mid to late 30s. And we see people who have significant cataracts probably in the 60s, sometimes even a little earlier than that. Then we wanted to know if they could see, if they did better with glasses, would they wear them? We were interested in knowing if there might be any stigma attached to wearing glasses, because once in a while we'll see people. Well, the more common thing is they come into the clinic or one of our clinics, and we give them a pair of glasses, and they say, "Wow, that's great, thanks." And they walk away with them in their pocket. So we wanted to know what they felt about that, and most at least reported that they would wear corrective eyewear if it would help. But we also wanted to know how much they could pay for a pair of glasses. We asked this question to get an idea of what amount of money they might have available for eye care. We charge a small amount when our eye health promoters work with the patients. They have to pay a little bit, and so we wanted to make sure also that our prices were in line with what the people could afford. Just to give, this was basically a value assessment to find out what value they would attach to eye care. Just to give you an exchange ratio, the Q is for quetzali, that's the unit of monetary unit in Guatemala, and 50 quetzales would be about $6.50. Finally, we wanted to know if these people were aware of who we were. We've been very small in Nishkan, but we wanted to find out what they knew about us. In Victoria in 2008, less than 10% had heard of us. 3 years later, in the bigger village of Playa Grande and Sacramento, it was up to 15%. We don't know if that was a result of the 3 years that intervened or the fact that it was two distinct different populations. But the most important item that I take from this is we still have some work to do because there's a lot of people out there who need to be educated about eye care. So the results pretty much showed us what we already knew, that there is a serious need for eye care in Nishkan, both in eyeglasses, lubricating eye drops, surgeries, and eye health education. But the need is challenged by affordability because most people can't afford to spend more than $6 or $7. So, creating a sustainable project is possible. It can be built. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of commitment. But here are some of the more important infrastructure kind of components of this project that I've done. We have three very devoted, serious eye health promoters. I might mention that none of these three guys went beyond the third grade in school. Was not available to them. We have an optometrist in Guatemala who has provided us some training help and a lot of communications help, and he's ready to do some more volunteer work with us. We have two eye surgery clinics, Visual Lisa, that you guys showed us pictures of, and another clinic that's a little closer to where we are. These clinics give us, we can get cataract surgeries with implants for about $125, and that includes the people staying at the clinic for 6 days with one meal a day. So it's pretty affordable. We have an optical lab in Guatemala City who's willing to make glasses for us at cost. There's a Rotary Club in Guatemala City that helps us with in-country travel and hospitality kinds of things. And there's many supporting individuals, and I don't want to leave those people out because you'd be surprised how many times you get help where you least expect it, from a taxi driver or a hotel worker, a priest or a nun. They just kind of, these little angels pop up everywhere to help you out. And then in the United States, I've had a lot of help from a very committed board of directors, a lot of faithful donors, generous in-kind donors, and devoted volunteers like the Amigos Eye Care Group from Pacific University. So, in concluding, I remind you that creating a sustainable eye care project is possible. But it isn't easy. By looking at this timeline, you can get an idea of some of the important milestones that we've passed along the way. Had I spoken Spanish in the beginning, and had I been able to spend more than 3 weeks out of a year there, I think we probably could have collapsed this timeline by 5 years or so. To be sustainable means to use local resources as much as you possibly can, with the idea that this project, of course, will become self-sustaining. Time and dedication have been big in developing this infrastructure, and it's an infrastructure that hopefully will survive when I'm not able to do this anymore. The things in yellow down there are a couple of our goals for this coming year. Our optometrist, is hoping to go there about four times a year to work with the seeing patients and working with the eye health promoters. And when we get our Guatemalan status as a nonprofit, we'll be able to draw more from the Guatemalan resources that hopefully are available. We all of us are incredibly lucky to live where and when we do. We have opportunities that these people have no chance of ever getting. And you know, a year ago, we were all, it was the 99 versus the 1%. You know, we're all 99 percenters, I'm sure. But if you look at it worldwide, we are the 1%. And I think that we all have some responsibility to help these people out. With the knowledge and the resources that we have, there's no reason why those 285 million visually impaired people have to remain that way, and no reason why they shouldn't be living a more productive and higher quality of life. So the story goes on, and thank you. I'll have to go back to that. Where was that?
2009. Third Eye helped promote our highest. So you
promote health. Our new folks. Next time.
Well,
that's a late San Francisco wagon.
A round of applause for all our presenters today. Thank you.